Welcome once again to another edition of what I call American Exposé, and this is Chris Gerner. It's the seventh, the conclusion of the seventh of September. As the beat goes on, listeners, the paper's full of it, the press is full of it, American Exposé is full of it, and the biggest move here, the biggest dilemma, is the scarcity of water returning. And the fact that jobs are disappearing, a budget office says storm could cost the economy 400,000 jobs. We have this situation very, very well documented and chronicled by Dennis the Menace. Hillary Clinton rejects Bush-led probe of Katrina. And once again, we have to deal with the fact that this situation had to have been created because of the scenarios that come about as a result of what was created, listeners. That's the bottom line. We should have James McKinney tomorrow. The biggest point here is, and I go back and forth with Hans on it all the time, this Popular Mechanics article, September 11, 2001, New Orleans is sinking. The surge of a Category 5 storm could put New Orleans 18 feet underwater. September 11, 2001, the exact date of the latest Pearl Harbor, the dilapidation of the Trade Center towers and the building number 7, the Pentagon, the shooting down of flight 98, I suppose it was. I forgot the number of the flight. But you remember the whole scenario. They played it out. They played it out on the press. So we deal with this on a regular basis, and we sidetrack that tonight a little bit. But keep in mind William Cohen's statement of April 28, 97. Others are engaging even in an echo type of terrorism whereby they can alter the climate, set off earthquakes, volcanoes remotely through the use of electromagnetic waves. So there are plenty of ingenious minds out there that are at work finding ways in which they can wreak terror upon other nations. It's real, and that's the reason why we have to intensify our efforts, and that's why this is so important. William Cohen, Secretary of Defense, 1997, April 28th. The point is, this is the pressure we need to put on the talk shows, the Sean Hannitys, the Bill O'Reillys, said Rush Limbaugh. This is the pressure that needs to be put on our federal government. Weather modification. We'll deal with this tomorrow night. Tonight we have a situation where an individual has investigated into T-valves in the water lines in Los Angeles, and she's lost her job. She's been singled out. And Janet, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, hello, Chris. I'm glad to be on the show.
We need some more volume.
I need to mention something very interesting.
Janet, we need some more volume.
Well, this is what I have. How about if I speak like this?
That's better. Are you in a good place to talk?
I am. Well, we had a little problem. I had set up, I work off a cell now, and I had set up a landline at a friend's house in Beverly Hills. And I got over there about 20 minutes ago, and she was very nervous. She has a teenage son who's aware of the work I'm doing, and stated that he was afraid that Secret Service would come to the door and he would be in danger if I did the show off their phone. And the mother, who's a little more, a little more rational than that, felt that it would probably be better for her son's peace of mind if I didn't. So I'm now at a payphone, and I will do the best I can. It might be a little noisy, and I do apologize, Chris. I had not expected this.
Okay, very good. Go ahead.
Okay. What I have researched has to do with Section 817 of the Patriot Act, which is the expansion of the biological weapons statute. Now, as you said, something got played out on 9/11, and as a result of that, the Congress rushed through the Patriot Act, and I understand many of them didn't even read it, and apparently they weren't aware.
Most of them didn't read it.
No.
Most of them don't read any legislation at all anyway.
Go ahead, continue. Section 817 of the Patriot Act is apparently legalizing a system which is going to produce more deaths in the U.S. It is a system that has to do with the infrastructure, it has to do with the utility, it has to do with the water system, and through this system they can target individual residences with bad water. And they do this through the use of T-valves. Now, when I was aware of this for a couple of years, and I had been working as a columnist at the Santa Monica Daily Press, and I was using the job. I was given pretty much free rein over there what I wrote about. I went over to City Hall. I requested to see the water records for Santa Monica. Within 24 hours, I didn't have a job anymore. Now, I did not go over there saying there's a conspiracy about water or something's going. Just said, hey, you've been digging up the streets a lot lately. Could I see the water records? No job. And apparently now I am blacklisted. I had narrowed my research to focus on this particular valve. It's called a T-valve. Sometimes it's called a three-port valve. Sometimes it's called a mixing valve. But the way this valve works, you can use it to either shut on or off water, or you can use it to provide an addition into the water stream. If you have a T-valve in front of every single residence, as having viewed the blueprints we do here in L.A., and I believe we do all over the country, then you can individualize the addition on a residence-per-residence basis. To be real clear, if you have a house with, a street with, on one side of the street you have number 101, number 103, number 105, you can target 103, skip over 101, 105, or you can target all three or skip over all three. And that's the way the T-valve works. Now, when I approached two cities. I'm here in the L.A. area, so I researched it here, although I am aware this is a federal project. It is ongoing in every state of the union. Now, I approached Los Angeles Department of Water and Power. I had an interview with the head engineer, whose name is Julie Spacht, and her head engineer for the Western District, whose name was Mike Downs. They are located at 111 Hope Street in downtown L.A. New Water Works, and they both work for the New Water Works, is on the 14th floor. I was up there, and I asked if I could see their records about T-valves. Well, Julie Spacht, and she's been at BWP for quite a long time, she looked at me cross-eyed. She had never heard of T-valves. She actually asked me if I could draw a T-valve so she could see what one looked like. Well, They completely blew me off. They had no records. They had no blueprints. They hadn't been doing water work. They didn't know what I was talking about. Well, I left, empty-handed. Now, very shortly thereafter, I was visiting a friend in the Venice Boulevard, La Brea area, which is in basically kind of mid-Wilshire area of downtown LA. And I noticed that they were doing temporary work. There on the temporary work was a T-valve in front of every single residence. So I pulled out my camera. I shot about 30 pictures of the T-valves, and I got back to Mike Downs, and I said, hey, you say you don't use T-valves, but I've got photographs of them above the street on temporary work. Now, could you please submit in writing your policy on T-valves in mainline construction? Now, while he was involved in producing the letter, which is on the website. Now, incidentally, if you want to read the article about this, you can Google the title of the article. It's Public Extermination Project. It's on several different websites now. Public Extermination Project. Michael Downs produced a letter stating that DWP, Department of Water and Power, does not use T-valves in mainline construction. Actually, he was so emphatic about this that he put this in bold type and capitalized it and put it twice in a one-page letter. By that time, I had been hanging around this work site. They had opened up the street. They were doing temporary work, so they were going to be opening up the street. They opened up the street. I shot the T-valves on mainline construction. So by that time, I had already proved Mike Downs a liar. Now, these particular valves have been used by Los Angeles DWP. In fact, I understand they've been used all over the country for about 100 years. It's very simple. You can turn off and on water with them, but you can also provide an addition into the water system because of the way the valve works. Now, in order to do this, you need a couple other things. Definitely, you need a second line. You need a line with whatever the addition is going to be. Now, according to my count, they just don't have any blueprints, but the foreman at the worksite around Venice and La Brea did, and I got a good look at those blueprints. We got second lines running down the street. Now, I asked the foreman, the work crew, actually the name of the work crew contracting company was Spiniello. The Spiniello workers, the foreman at the worksite, they had no idea they were doing anything that might be harmful, and they're very proud of their work. The big point of what they're doing right now with these T-valves that they've been using for 100 years is they are replacing every single T-valve with a T-valve that responds to remote control computer commands. That is what they're doing. Now, this way, you won't have to open up a street and turn things on and off. If you want to provide a mixture into the system, you can make a grid. You can figure out who's living where, who is acceptable and who is not acceptable for the New World Order, and you can turn on their T-valve and provide undrinkable water. Now, I'm claiming that this is in play, and I'm claiming that it is referenced to in Section 817 of the Patriot Act. Now, it's really interesting verbiage there. They're talking about delivery systems and toxins. Now, toxins, according to Mark Cavallo, who was working at the Department of Justice in their press office when I called him about this, toxins are poisons. Thank you, Mark. I already knew that. When I asked Mr. Cavallo if this system is intended to terminate life, he had to go on coffee break. He didn't want to discuss this anymore. The one thing he said to me, and he never came back to the phone again, no matter how many times I called, the one thing he said to me was, you call the House Judiciary Committee. They passed the damn thing. Nobody at the DOJ at this point will come to the phone when I call in the press office. And I have called 5 or 6 or 7 times since then. No one will come to the phone or return the calls when Janet Phelan's calling. I'm sorry.
And the people he wanted you to contact, who were they again?
He said, call the House Judiciary Committee. And yes, I did. I called the Minority Office, Minority Counsel, for the House Judiciary Committee. And I spoke to a gentleman there who got very freaked out when I asked the same questions. Section 817 of the Patriot Act. And he said, well, we're talking about masks. We're talking about masks to prevent toxins. I said, this doesn't say masks. This is legal. The verbiage in Section 817 is essentially legalizing toxins and delivery systems as long as they're done in a peaceful and protective manner. I guess that means peaceful poisoning.
I guess you can't get violent about this.
You have to be nice.
Are you getting that from the Patriot Act?
That's Section 817 of the Patriot Act.
Would you repeat that again for the listeners?
It legalizes peaceful, protective delivery systems and toxins. Now, peaceful and protective, that is the language used. Now, what I thought, well, maybe they're talking about some planned military operation, but the next section of Section 817 is in regards to restricted persons who may and may not have these delivery systems and toxins. We are not talking about a military operation. The only people who are restricted from having this would be somebody who was a convicted felon or adjudicated insane. So that means, I guess, DWP, as long as they're not criminals or crazy, can set up delivery systems and toxins. Now, what alerted me to this verbiage of deliveries? It was delivery system that first alerted me to this. When I was researching this, I was beginning to get some attention from people and federal people. I was in the presence of a federal officer who referred to what I was researching in the water system as a delivery system. That was his words. So when I pulled up the Patriot Act, I'm just getting to it. I see delivery system. It jumped out at me. I stopped and read. Peaceful protective poisoning. This is going to make Jim Jones look like an angel.
What made you determine that this was the situation? What made you curious about this to get started in researching?
Well, that is a very difficult question to answer. I will say that this is a targeting system, that I was alerted that this has been used on some people already as a targeting system. Some people are now claiming they're getting screwed up water. Now, I had spoken to Ted Gunderson, who was formerly the number four guy in the FBI, about this. And he said, I asked him, because, you know, a lot of people contact Ted. I mean, Ted is really pretty ubiquitous. And I said to him, he said, nobody's talked to him about water. I said, maybe that's because they're all dead. He said, maybe so.
The other thing that he said
about the system, we were talking about this. I was out at his home last year out in Vegas, and we were talking about this. And he, in reference to the system, he said, well, Janet, when the genocide begins, that was the introductory clause to the sentence, when the genocide begins, I believe that is an understanding that this is an attempt at genocide.
Okay, what's ubiquitous mean?
Oh, ubiquitous means he's everywhere. Ted Gunderson is everywhere. He's got his fingers into everything.
Uh-huh.
That's what ubiquitous is.
And he's still receiving his pension from the FBI, I'm sure.
Probably.
Yeah.
A lot of people feel that Ted is definitely doing all kinds of work for all kinds of people these days. I don't like to impute people's connections when I don't have documentation, but I've had enough experience with Ted Gunderson to understand that Ted has access to information that others of us might not have.
Okay, in the meantime, let me just document something here from the FBI. It's the testimony of Robert Mueller III, Director of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and this is before the Senate Committee on Intelligence of the United States Senate, February 16th of 2005. And it's regarding terrorism and what's being done and the whole big picture in place. He says, over the past year, through unprecedented cooperation, enhanced intelligence capabilities, and continued unwavering commitment to protect the American people, we have achieved considerable victories against national security and criminal threats facing the U.S. However, I must also report that these threats continue to evolve and to pose new challenges to the FBI and our partners, it says. And they deal with Al-Qaeda and related terrorist groups, which is quite lengthy. It's a 32-page document, but on page 10 it says, the right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat to America today, listeners. Threat to America today. In other words, what I'm doing is a threat to America today. What Janet is doing is a threat to America today. Once again, the right-wing patriot movement consisting of militias, common law courts, tax protesters, and other anti-government extremists remains a continuing threat to America today. Sporadic incidents resulting in direct clashes with law enforcement are possible and will most likely involve state and local law enforcement personnel, such as highway patrol officers and sheriff's deputies. Also, it goes on to state, listeners, potential violent anti-abortion extremists linked to terrorism ideologies or groups pose a current threat. The admiration of violent, high-profile offenders by extremists highlights continued concerns relating to potential or similar anti-abortion threat activity. So the FBI is condoning abortion. The FBI is against people like us speaking out about what's happening in our system of, well, let's just call it the UN system, listeners, because that's what it is. And we're anti-government extremists. And militia, anyone 17 to 45 is a member of the militia, according to the U.S. Code. I'll find that citing sometime tonight. Militias are needed. In common law courts, tax protesters, what's taxation, people? The IRS is the revenuers for the IMF of the UN. So here is the way it is. We're up against the wall. So, Janet, continue with your direction.
Well, I would like to say something about terrorists. Last year, it was quoted in the press that either Dick Cheney or George Bush, I forget which one, called Seymour Hersh, who's the lead reporter for The New Yorker, a terrorist. Now, if this appellation is being used to apply to journalists, then a truth teller would be a terrorist,
right?
Wouldn't he or she?
You're a terrorist.
I believe in their eyes I have become a terrorist.
Yes.
I would like to say something briefly before I go back into the story. There has been some massive retaliation against me. I've not only no longer a working journalist, and I have been a journalist over 25 years. I've written for the LA Times. I've written for the Long Beach Press-Telegram, Santa Monica Daily Press, We Magazine, Orange Coast Magazine. You know, this has gone on for quite a long time in my life. I did my graduate work at the University of Missouri, Columbia School of Journalism, and have been active as a reporter for a very long time. I am now unable to get a reporting job. There was a fellow who was helping me with the story. His name was Fred DeAguilar. He was on the city desk at the Los Angeles Times, had been there for 15 years, had no plans for leaving the LA Times, although he was extremely outspoken in our phone conversations concerning his assessment of what the LA Times has become in terms of a propaganda machine. Now, Fred was talking quite openly with me on the phone about this. I'd left him a couple messages on his voicemail at the LA Times, and they were deleted. He never got the messages I left him. I became aware that maybe some attention was being paid to this our conversations. I sent him over my first draft of this article. It never arrived. I sent him over the second draft. He brought it to the attention of the editors at the LA Times. Very shortly, Fred was canned. Fred DeAguilar, apparently, from what I hear from his friends at the LA Times, because I don't have his home phone number, apparently he also cannot get another newspaper job. Maybe a terrorist is a truth teller.
Right.
Now, back to the water story. I also approached Santa Monica City Hall concerning this water issue. After I left my job at the Santa Monica Daily Press, I continued on. I've worked freelance before. I have no problem with working without the supervision of an editor. My editor at Santa Monica Daily Press, Carolyn Zachariasen, read me the Riot Act. She called. I went down to City Hall. I requested these records. Within a few hours later, I got a call from her. I was not to ask questions about water. I was not to go there. My job was completely... She was just absolutely outraged that I asked to see the water records in Santa Monica. Well, that really was the end of my job. So I continued on. The first document that I got from Santa Monica City Hall was very interesting. It was actually signed by Joseph Lawrence, who is the assistant city attorney. The first line of that letter states that in response to my request for water records, there are no documents responsive to my request. So apparently, according to Joseph Lawrence, the city of Santa Monica doesn't keep water records. Now, I find that very interesting. At the time I made the request, the city crews were digging up the pier, Santa Monica Pier, doing water work. But according to Joseph Lawrence, since they don't keep records, then obviously it must have been commandeered by bin Laden and Al-Qaeda, and they had simply taken over the crews and were digging up the streets and doing terrorist activity since Santa Monica doesn't have any water records. I mean, I'm being very sarcastic here. If you go down in that letter, and the letter's also on the website, once again, Google Public Extermination Project. It's the second document in terms of supportive documentation. Joseph Lawrence states that, the Public Records Act, California Public Records Act, is not meant to facilitate research. So that he used that as a second reason. First of all, they don't have the records, and second of all, they don't have to give me the records they don't have because the PRA, Public Records Act, is not meant to facilitate research. Well, I'm so sorry, Joseph Lawrence. If you read the Public Records Act, you understand that that's exactly what it's meant to do. It's meant to facilitate gathering of information. What is gathering of information? It is research. So he was playing little games there. So that was his statement. Now, I went back. I did not stop there. I went back. I had narrowed my focus. Your water records, I mean, that's asking for an awful lot. I asked at that point, after that letter from Joe Lawrence, I went back with a second request for work orders on T and Y valves. Y valves are actually, you can just divert water. You go in one way and it goes out two ways. It's not the same as a T valve, but I thought maybe I'd throw it in there as a monkey to kind of like confuse them. I asked for the work orders on T and Y valves since September 2001. The letter comes back from Joseph Lawrence. Apparently he couldn't read my request. He said there weren't any records in September 2001. Well, that was not what I had requested. At that point, I marched into the city clerk's office, Maria Stewart, and I filled out a request to have this agendized so I could address the city council about the fact that Joseph Lawrence, the assistant city attorney, is lying about the Public Records Act, lying about documents about water. You know, let's get this taken care of. Please, City Council. Maria Stewart denied my request to be agendized. I was offered, under item 14, you can address the City Council for 3 minutes, and then the next person addresses the City Council. They do not act. They do not respond. So that was the only thing I was offered. Well, I took that. Finally, it took me several times because they kept passing over me and forgetting that I'd requested to address the city council, but I did finally get up there. I made that my 3-minute pitch, and that was it. No response. Although I did get a good look at Bobby Shriver's face. Bobby Shriver is actually the brother of Maria Shriver, who's married to Governor Schwarzenegger, and if a man looked like he wanted the earth to actually swallow him up, I would say Bobby Shriver looked like that day. But there was no response. There was no action taken. And it was dropped. So at that point, yes.
The Public Extermination Project, listeners, is at the bottom of the front page of the website under August 31st date, Public Extermination Project. We'll be back with Janet to continue with this. And the photograph is there, and we'd like to have her dissect what the photograph is here, and I'm sure she knows that when we come back on the Public Extermination Project. At the bottom of the front page of American Exposé, dated August 31st, done by Dennis the Menace. Stay with us. We will return.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25, or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Since the beginning of time, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it, it has been traded, it has been borrowed, it has been purchased, it has been stolen, there's a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and to our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188 or visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, and regular guest, world-renowned economist Robert Chapman, right here on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and WBCQ Shortwave at 4 p.m. Eastern or 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Visit discountgoldandsilvertrading.net or call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, 1-800-375-4188.
Popular Mechanics article that was discovered by one of us regarding the New Orleans is sinking. It was published in Popular Mechanics on September 11th, 2001, listeners, the day the World Trade Center went down, the day building number 7 went down, the day a non-airliner hit the Pentagon. No wreckage, no bodies, no baggage. The point is, that was a setup scenario. Here we have a setup scenario with New Orleans being promoted on the same day. And yet, a specific public works project became classified following 9-1-1. This project, which has been ongoing throughout the U.S., has lethal capabilities for innocent U.S. citizens, and this is the public extermination project. And Janet is our guest now, and I see this photograph here. Can you, off the tip of your thought pattern, think about and tell us what this photograph is describing?
Right. There are two photographs of T-valves on the website. The first one is the one, the older one, that was actually under the ground for, 60, 80 years, however long.
Uh-huh.
The second one is the new T-valve prior to being put under the ground that responds to computer commands. Now, the way these work...
Okay,
the second one isn't there. Second one isn't where?
On this website, there is no second one. There's a second photograph at the bottom, but it's just showing something on the surface. It's not connected. Is that
no? Right. The second one is right before they inserted it. That's the orange device. The orange device is the new T-valve that they're going to put down in the ground.
Okay.
That's what the Spiniello workers told me. Actually, I spoke to 18 or 19 or 20, so I was out there for weeks speaking to these guys. They're all calling them T-valves, and the photograph, that photograph of that orange device is right before they put it down under the ground. That's why it's sitting up next to the hole in the ground.
Would they let you take a photograph of it installed?
In what?
Would they have let you take a photograph of it when it was installed?
Well, they probably would have. I was
okay.
Having they were moving very quickly, you know,
okay, no
around
problem.
around that particular side, and I didn't get that photograph. But I'm sure they would have. Those
and
guys were,
you know,
they were
on?
Proud of their work. They were not blocking me. It was DWP. It was the head engineers, the designers, the architects of the system who were blocking me, not the street workers.
And this these T-valves were being installed all over the place?
Oh, all over the place. Actually, I got one photograph, which is not on the website. I got a picture of the truck with the T-valves in the back of them. There were like dozens of them in the back of them. Now, I have a correspondence on my email from John Moore, who also, I believe, has broadcasted or does broadcast over RBN Live. He is ex-special ops. I guess he's an ex-insider. He was trying, he did inform me in that email that we've got a T-valve in front of every residence in America. Now, I believe that. John Moore also, as an ex-insider, and I do hope he's ex, was trying to persuade me that T-valves only shut on and off water. That is simply untrue. Anybody who researches these things, T-valves are three-port valves. There are schematics all over the web concerning how these things work. As a T, you have basically three possibilities. Water can go east to west, west to east, or south to north. Now, obviously it's not going to go east to west and west to east at the same time because it would hit each other. So you've got something that can run sideways and something else can run up from the bottom. That's the way the T-valve works.
I see.
And you can shut on and off, you know, the addition or either side. That's how the T-valve works. So sorry, John Moore. You're mistaken.
Uh-huh.
So, basically, the real story here is these valves, which they've been using forever, they're replacing with computerized valves. Now, I've done some research as to how this can be activated. There's a website called ROM Communications. And on this site, they have, on one of the pages on the site, they have a schematic of input, internet input, and the end product. The internet input is on the right side. You have a cell phone, a laptop, a computer. The schematic shows the pulse, the command going into the internet, then up to a satellite, and then on the left-hand side are the end points which can be accessed or affected through the cell phone, the laptop on the right-hand side. They have an oil well. They have pictures of several things. They have an oil well. They have a truck. Now, I believe GPS locating devices, that's what that is referential to. And there they have a water valve.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it can be done off a cell phone.
Interesting.
I'm sorry?
Very interesting.
Very scary. I understand that we have profilers in D.C. We have files now on all Americans. We know our Social Security number. We know our ethnic background. We know our socioeconomic status, who our relatives are. They have information apparently on all of us. And I am maintaining that they are deciding who will make it and who will not make it in the new world order. New Orleans is very largely black. I don't think they're doing too well down there in New Orleans, are they?
Right. And certainly genocidal tendencies are there.
This country has a long history of genocide. We came over, the white man came to a country that was peacefully populated by indigenous Americans and slaughtered them in our manifest destiny. we have treated black people very poorly in this country. And I am maintaining, and a lot of people do not agree with me, and I have very strong reasons to state this, that we have a very anti-Semitic government in place at this point. Now, we have a lot of confusing issues going on worldwide. Now, we have a war that people don't understand why we're there. People saying it must be the oil. It must be the oil. I'm stating that that is a direct decoy excuse. Of course we like oil. We're a very consuming society, but I do not believe we are there for the oil. I believe there is a geographic about Iraq, and I believe that those bases, that we, those permanent bases, military bases we now have in Iraq, will be used, among other things, to hit Israel. Now, when we...
You think we're going to attack Israel?
I do believe this. I have had quite a bit of federal input in the last couple of years. I believe we will attack Israel. Now, in order, if among others, Jews will be targeted by the system, and I am stating they will be. In fact, somebody who knows about this, another federal guy, called this Jew water. He called it Jew water. Now, if we attack Israel, if Israel gets expunged, American Jews won't be saved by the U.S. going into death camps, because the U.S. is now the beast, and American Jews, among others, would be caught in a killing field. Now, this is a hypothesis here. I have spoken with a number of people know about this system. Apparently, most of the rabbinical community knows about the system. I was in conversation with Rabbi Mark Fleischer, who's out in St. Louis, Missouri, about this. And I just threw this out as a hypothesis.
You know, I got to interrupt you here.
Yeah.
We went to Iraq to take weapons of mass destruction away from Iraq. Israel has weapons of mass destruction. CNN described it and chronicled it. Israel has weapons of mass destruction. They're the only people in the Middle East that have the nuclear bomb.
Right.
Why would we attack them?
This is a very anti-Semitic administration.
Have you heard of the Zionist Organization of America?
Yes.
They're in Washington,
We have Jews right now who are not acting in particularly the best interests of other Jews. I don't believe that Ariel Sharon is acting in the best interest of Jews. I don't believe that George W. Bush is a born-again Christian.
Well, there's lots of people that claim George Bush is a Jew.
And
it goes, George Bush is a Jew. There's lots of people that chronicle that. SweetLiberty.org chronicles that. The point is that the population of the world has to be reduced by 4 billion people, according to the UN system.
Right.
Now, there aren't 4 billion Jews in America.
There aren't. I say among others. I'm not saying this is only going to target Jewish people, and it certainly isn't going to target the...
You know, at this point, I think it's moot to be dealing with who they're trying to target. I think it's more important to chronicle that this is going on, and this is being developed throughout
America.
Well,
I think we have to understand that those who oppose the administration, that those who are deemed not genetically suitable, will be targeted. And we can debate forever whether that will be Jews or blacks or Hispanics. I think we have to understand we got something in play that that is basically a Holocaust or an extermination vehicle.
And we can
go round and round as to who will get hit, and probably without seeing the files on who they have and who they've determined unfit, we won't know.
That's the point. We need to chronicle the T valves and what they're for, and to get corroborating evidence about that. Have you been able to corroborate any of this information with anyone else in the country?
I have gotten emails now from all over the country saying they see the same work going on all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, there it is.
Now, the problem is, what do you do about this? If you start digging up the streets to take out the T-valves, you'll be deemed a terrorist. You will be deemed a terrorist. You cannot do that. You cannot do that.
Are there ways to determine how the quality of water is in one specific household? Isn't there ways of testing the water?
That's a very good question. I'm glad you asked that question because I had skipped over that in my narrative. I have samples of the screwed up stuff. I have numerous samples of the screwed up stuff. I have been trying to get the screwed up stuff tested for over a year and a half. I cannot find a lab who will agree to test water. The latest contact I made was with AccuChem out in Texas. Now, I was told, I was gotten an email back, we don't test water. Well, according to Dr. Bill Deagle, who's up in Nova Scotia and had worked for the CIA and for Echelon and for numerous government programs, AccuChem does test water. And he has promised to contact Dr. Lassiter, who is the head of AccuChem, to urge him to test my samples. On one occasion, I had contacted a lab. Actually, I was out in St. Louis at the time. I went across country about a year and a half ago. I was trying to kind of see if this project seems to be everywhere, and it does seem to be everywhere. I was out in St. Louis, and I contacted a lab out there, and they agreed to test this. Now, by the time I got to the lab, it seems like the agenda had changed. I was on the way to the lab, and I need to tell this story. I was taking a bus. I was at a transfer point where several buses came in, and I was there with, you know, wearing a jeans and a T-shirt and with a little satchel with water samples in it. And somebody came up to me, and a woman I'd never seen before, very nicely dressed, and said, you're a freelance writer, aren't you? And I said, no, I'm just a tourist. And she goes, yeah, and you write poetry, too. Well, actually, I do write poetry. I have had a lot, quite a bit published. It's kind of an avocation. I've been doing it for, you know, as long as I've been writing, just about, you know, mm-hmm. since I was about 5 years old. And at that point, I was beginning to feel a little nervous, like there might be some attention to my movements. At that point, that very well-dressed woman said to me, I think you're getting on number 10 bus. Now, like I said, there were several buses that came into that transfer point. It was the number 10 bus that would take me to the lab. So I believe that there was enough attention paid to my movements so that they knew where I was going and who I was. By the time I got to the lab, the head chemist there was acting kind of nervous, and he told me that to get a universal test would be thousands of dollars, which I could not have fronted for myself. So I kind of took a shot in the dark, and I tested for arsenic, because this particular water sample, having unwittingly drank some of it, I will absolutely state does have cardiac effects. And I know that arsenic can also. I got a negative on the arsenic test. However, in conversation with Dr. Bill Deagle, he said there was something funny about that whole transaction. He states that through something called, I think it's called spectral chromatography, if I remember correctly, or pressure chromatography. Anyway, if you do a test such as I had requested, according to Deagle, there will be a way to tell if there are other areas that need testing so that you don't have to spend thousands of dollars. It will kind of indicate where you need to go with the test. Well, that lab chemist in St. Louis, Missouri, didn't reveal that to me, and Deagle said that indicates a peculiar response on the part of that lab chemist. He should have informed me of that, and he did not. So I have, at this point, I have lots of samples, and I have no tests. It would be very helpful to get a chemist to check this out, and I have contacted dozens of labs. I cannot get a lab to test water.
And you've told them this is water out of a pond, or...
Oh, I'd say that was just house water. Just need to test it. It's house water.
Maybe if you went at them and said, this is water out of a pond and my fish are dying, maybe they would have done something then.
Possibly. Or possibly with the attention being paid to phone calls and movements, maybe that wouldn't have worked either, but it's certainly worth a try.
Well, without testing the water, it's very difficult to get anywhere, isn't it?
Well, I'm still waiting for Deagle to contact Dr. Lassiter. It would be very helpful to get a test. However, with the massive amounts of lying going on about T-valves, we definitely have a cover-up here. Incidentally, when I was up at the DWP office on the 14th floor for new water work, Mike Downs showed me a map where all the reservoirs in the L.A. area were delineated. So he's really not interested in securing the sites of the reservoirs. If I were a terrorist or if I were going to, he kept saying, we're so worried about the terrorists. Well, if I were a terrorist or if I were feeding information to terrorists, I believe they would want to secure the sites of the reservoirs because somebody could just throw something in the reservoir and kill everybody, I guess. But he wasn't interested in securing the sites of the reservoirs. He was interested in securing information about T-valves. Incidentally, on the blueprints, they are designated as little T's, like little crosses. I got a very good look at those blueprints from the foreman at the work site. We got a T-valve in front of every single edifice. And according to apartment managers and plumbers I have talked to, if you have a multi-unit building, you have a T-valve for every unit, its own separate T-valve.
Okay, look, we're running out of time. There's someone that emailed me regarding you, and evidently you contacted her a couple of months ago after she contacted you and looked at one of her temporary work photos. And the question that she asked you when you were on another show, and she hasn't heard an answer to, if these T-valves are supposed to dispense poison to specific homes, have you ever seen the separate pipe which would be needed to supply the poison?
Yes, I have. In the blueprints that I saw, there was a second line running down the street. Now, I'm sorry, I don't ever remember getting that email from that woman, and I do apologize because I try to respond individually. I do respond to all emails, and I do not remember at all getting that email. I do apologize for that. Now, running down the middle of the street in the blueprints I saw was a second line. According to the workers on the street, this was simply to carry water great distances. However, there were regular access lines every few yards onto that main line. So whatever was in that second line could go into the main line. And that's the best I've been able to do with delineating where the poison would come from. I think it would come from that second line.
This individual also says she has turned up something important. If indeed she was fired for simply asking for water records, of course, she's not questioning that. And her calls to the Justice Department and House Judiciary Committee are stunning. But without a separate line to deliver poison, do you really have evidence that these T-valves are for delivery of poison?
I saw the second line. They're on the blueprints. Now, I would like to give my email very quickly if anybody would like to email me about this.
Mm-hmm.
It is jcphalen10@yahoo.com. J.C. Phalen is spelled P as in poison, H as in Helen, E-L-A-N as in Nancy, numeral 10, 10, jcphalen10@yahoo.com. And, yes, you would definitely need the second line. Of course you would. And it is running down the middle of the street. In every blueprint I saw, running down the middle of the street, a second line.
Okay, that email address, once again, listeners, jcphalen, P-H-E-L-A-N, the number 10, @yahoo.com, jcphalan, number 10, @yahoo.com. And, well, let's see. We have about five more minutes, but keep in mind this initiative for the Echo 92 Earth Charter, where they state, the Security Council of the UN, led by the Anglo-Saxon major nation powers, will decree that henceforth the Security Council will inform all nations that its suffrage on population has ended, that all nations have quotas for population reduction on a yearly basis, which will be enforced by the Security Council by selective or total embargo of credit, items of trade including food and medicine, or by military force when required. Keep in mind, Agenda 21, 13 years into operation, in every country of the world, listeners, that's a member of the UN system, every country has a UN Agenda 21, local Agenda 21. They're selectively choosing who's going to live and die with this situation that's going on in New Orleans and surrounding areas, that region. You might as well use the UN lingo. And the refugees. Well, guess what? These refugees will be vaccinated. Vaccinations will be called for. And they're being dispersed throughout the country. And so everyone will have to be vaccinated under the State Emergency Health Powers Act, which was passed by, as far as I know, every state of the union. I could be wrong. But it's very, very obvious that people are going to get sick, and the justification for vaccinations will come into place. Now, to poison the water, we've had fluoride in the water in California for years, and I remember that, and a certain amount of parts per million of fluoride. What's the purpose of fluoride in the water, Janet?
Fluoride.
Why would they
dulls
fluoride
the
in
hippocampus.
The water?
It makes people more docile and more obedient.
Right.
There has been massive evidence of that, and very little evidence that it actually retards tooth decay. Now, fluoride is also in Pepsi, it's in Coca-Cola, it's in, they've been fluoridating us for quite a long time. I guess they want a very obedient populace.
Yes, and someone else was referring to gray water, that's on the website here somewhere, dealing with gray water. And I can't find it right now. Oh, here it is. Gray water in your future. Listeners, Gray Water Policy Center, Gray Water Central, guidelines on gray water usage during drought conditions. Recycling gray water is not a black and white issue. The 2005 annual meeting using gray water in sustainable design, listeners. What's gray water? Water from the laundry and washing dishes, things like this. Lots of research to be done there, but...
Chris, I would like to say one more thing.
Yes.
I've been advised by those aware of my situation to say that this work seems to be rather dangerous. I have not only lost my job and the potential of getting another reporting job, I have had my apartment seized and my bank account seized. I've been hit with the Patriot Act. I have had all assets seized. And I think that that needs to be stated, that this is now going on in this country. I know one other person who incurred this level of retaliation. His name was Michael Morrissey. He was in the Midwest. He was a research scientist researching mad cow.
Mm-hmm.
Seized property, seized assets.
And that makes sense, because mad cow is another setup, listeners. They don't want us eating meat in Agenda 21 and sustainable development. It's not sustainable. Any animal that has hooved feet, hooves on their linkages, they will not be allowed on Gaia, Mother Earth. Janet, thank you for being with us tonight.
Thank you very much, Chris.
We'll continue to try to do their best for our country, listeners, and learn more as you can, people. Much going on, people. Much going on. Much determination by you to determine your proper direction with what's going on around us today. We'll be back tomorrow night. God bless you all.
Hear it first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net, around the world and on satellite. Get ready for the 10th annual Old Pass Christian History Conference, hosted by the Church at Cahuilla, coming the weekend of October 1st and 2nd. Guest speakers will be John Weaver, the author of The Christian and Civil Government. Pastor Weaver's